This is cassette number 2 of a message by David E. Ball entitled, Seven Rings of Heaven.
Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. It is finished. He's not doing anything else. The job is done. The problem for you is to say, yes, Lord. It's done. That's all you got to do and you're saved.
Then, Jesus sends the Holy Spirit
as your baptizer.
And then you start being saved.
Your mind starts changing. Attitudes start to change. Ecclesiastes 12:7 says that if you die, your body goes back to dust where it came, but your spirit goes back to God who gave it in the first place. Therefore, the real you is a spirit. The real important part, the real you is a spirit. You came from God, you're going back to God. That's when I found that out, it was easier to love you. You see, really, we were all part of that great Godhead at one time. How many understand that? At one time, we were all, every one of us, part of that great Godhead. Then, he kind of sent each one of us as a spirit. God is a
spirit.
They that worship him must worship him in
spirit.
Therefore, the worship is not in, not in, but in
spirit.
Now, we show a worshipful attitude with our bodies by genuflecting, kneeling, going through various physical body maneuvers. But that's not the worship. It's only an outward manifestation of what's down here. But because people don't understand that, they think that the outward, that is worship. That's not worship. That's raising hands. But if the worship is in the spirit that makes the hands go up, then that's worship. Can you see what I'm talking about? It's not what you do, it's why you do it. Over and over and over again, we say that. All right. So then, the physical thing is just an outward manifestation of what's really down here. The spirit is the heart. Well, Jesus said, out of your innermost parts, out of your bowels, out of this thing down here, any inner organ is the spirit, shall flow rivers of living water, but this spake he of the
spirit.
Heart, bowels, innermost parts, all these words refer to the spirit. Now, you speak with your heart. That's part of the one that Bob was talking about. That's in your Matthew. Or another one is in Luke. And you speak out of the heart, and out of the abundance of the heart, the man speaks. How many know that? And this is the real man. This is the real man speaking now. But however, we're going to see that also the soul is connected, and it has these things that speak as well. Now, the soul, when it's got the Holy Spirit engrafting the Word of God, changes its attitude, and little by little, you die. And in fact, this whole 2,000 years has been a guillotine experience. And someday, your head's going to roll. I'm speaking spiritually now, not physically. Don't you see? We got to cut this line off right here. This soul control. Because it's the soul that's selfish. And the whole problem is that we're selfish. Come on now, up and down like this. This is the whole thing. We're selfish. That's why we can't make logical, can I say religious decisions, or the kind of decisions that Jesus make, because my dumb head's in the way. And it's so selfish, and why is it selfish? Well, I've been trained for a long time in my dumb head to respond to what I see, hear, smell, taste, and feel. And every one of these senses are selfish. They're self-oriented. And in the natural realm, and all the natural schooling I've been through, I've been trained to be a natural man. But the things of the Spirit are foolishness to a natural man.
Therefore, I've got to be a supernatural man, and the only way to do that is to cut my head off. Because my head, it's my head that tells me I'm sick. It's my head that tells me I'm poor. It's my head that tells me I'm, you know, whatever the problem is. If it wasn't for your dumb head, you'd never know it.
What we've got to do is draw this line in permanently with a solid line and X that one out. And when you X that one out, that's when the head's cut off. In a symbolic way, not a literal way now. I don't have 238s. They're in the holster. I'm not anxious to send you to heaven right now. I want to get you straightened up so you can rule on the earth. After you go away and die, you come back with a spiritual body, not a natural. This is the body that's got to change, this physical body. But the physical body cannot change until the dumb head gets out of the way. Because right now it's your dumb head that's controlling your physical body. And isn't that what made your physical body in trouble right now? Come on. Now quit blaming it on God and take the blame where it ought to be, right? Right here, well, up here. Because you didn't learn the lesson of temperance or patience. I'm going to show the difference. Temperance is eating 7 pork chops. But patience... Now let me try this on you. Lord help me. If you're affected by some kind of bruxitis, arthritis, internal glandular thing that's gone wrong, this is because a pretty good chance that patience or some kind of a anger or fear or emotion is in charge of your life and motivating your decision making. Come on. And that tightens this gland and makes that one work more, and pretty soon you're off balance and your ulcer is... Every doctor will tell you that. I mean, you don't have to hear that from Dr. Jesus, but he was the first one. If you just paid attention to him in the first place, you wouldn't need the second one. But all these internal things are because of emotions. Can I say intolerance in the emotional realm? If you see it that way. Now, a merry heart doeth good like a... Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord is my strength. A merry heart will cure lots of diseases. How many know that? Lots of things that are wrong with it. All you got to do is start saying, ha, 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 ha. And pretty soon, the bruxitis goes. The arthritis, and those things like that. But if you'll trace back, now I'm not putting anyone under condemnation. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not trying to condemn you at all. Because every one of us has got problems. Come on, shake them like, yeah, everybody's got problems. I'm not trying to condemn. I wouldn't condemn you a bit. But the problem is that you've got to get yourself straightened out. Now, you are mostly concerned with your body, and that's the last thing that he's concerned with. What motivates you? Healing, desire. I gotta come to Jesus because of this or that, or But really, this is what he gets on first. That's what he wants, your spirit. Then he gets your soul. Then in the future, by H-O-P-E, hope, the glory of the Father will inhabit this physical body. And this which is corruptible will put on incorruption. This which is mortal will put on immortality. And we shall be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. All right. 1 Peter 1:22. Seeing you have purified your what?
Soul.
In obeying the truth through the
Spirit.
See, this is the Spirit anointing the Word that works on the
soul.
Let me do that again. I was too fast for some of them. You have purified your what?
Soul.
Through the
Spirit.
Through the truth that's by the Spirit. In other words, look. The letter will kill, but the Spirit gives life. Isn't that right? So this letter, which is the Word of God, acts on the mind when it's anointed by the Holy
Spirit.
And if it's not anointed by the Spirit, it'll turn you into a Judaizer. And if you don't know what that is, that's somebody who puts you back under the LAW. And pretty soon, you're worried more about how you look and what you're wearing than you are in what you're saying and what you're doing, and you're back under the old law all over again. Is anybody mad? No, you know I'm telling the truth, because it's the problem. It's what happens to us. Now, seeing you have purified your soul in obeying the Spirit, or in obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto something. What is this? What? Unto unput on no facade, but a real genuine love, which you might guess is phileo. So I'm going to connect the thought. You phileo in your mind, soul, realm. This is where you give and receive in your mind. Yeah. Right. Phileo love is responsive love. It's giving and receiving. It's brotherly love. And brotherly love is for this realm. Phileo love. It's this realm up here. It's the receptive love. It's giving and receiving. It's responsive. I'll scratch your back, you scratch mine. But we're motivated by our
soul.
Brotherly love is motivated by the soul. I'm going to say that again. Brotherly love comes out of the mind, is motivated by the mind, is motivated by soul. Okay?
No.
Huh? What?
Agape. Divine love.
All right, I'll give the definition of agape. Agape love is one-way love. It's a one-way street. It does not demand a response. Now we'll get to agape next in this scripture. After you learn phileo, he says, the unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you, look at the next word. What is it?
Love.
L-O-V-E. Now you see where there. What's the word after unfeigned?
Love.
What's the word, see that ye, what's after that?
Love.
But one word, love, is phileo. The next word, love, is agape. Two Greek words meaning two different things in the same verse translated in our Bible, love. It means something else. For the phileo love is a soul love. And it says, after you learn to love each other in a phileo, a responsive, soulish love, now see that you agape one another with a pure what?
Heart.
Now, what do you agape with? Look at it. Heart or
spirit.
So then the agape love is for the heart or spirit. Phileo love is for the... Well, that makes sense. That makes sense. You smile when someone smiles at you because you saw them smile, and it's a soulish response. But you give out of a heart, and you don't care if they smile back or not. But if you love out of your mind, and if they don't shake your hand, pretty soon you quit. Huh? But if it's out of the heart, then you... you give and 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 give. Forever. See that ye agape one another with a pure heart, fervently. Now, if you'll notice, in every case, I have always used Peter to show the progression. Now, you think now, of all the lessons I've ever taught, I always go back to Peter to show the progression. For Peter's got this thing lined up. Peter knows this chart. We don't know it. We're just coming into it. We're just lining up these things in our minds. And we have never noticed the difference between spirit, soul, and body. And we just always treated it as one. But Peter, in every case, you go back and check him out. He uses the difference. When he says soul, he means soul. Whenever he uses soul, he uses the Holy Spirit. And he uses a phileo, you know. But he doesn't put phileo in the heart. He puts agape in the heart and phileo in the mind. Because Peter had the keys of the kingdom, and he understood this concept. So therefore, to me, if I understand this correctly, the keys to the kingdom are in dividing spirit, soul, and body, and having all three salvations. Remember the word key now, Rocky. The keys to the kingdom are when you can divide spirit, soul, and body, and have all three salvations operating in all three parts of you, and you will be manifested on the throne. Now, we were playing with something the other, just a few minutes ago. Jesus starts with the Spirit, works on the soul, and develops the finally. But, did you notice your process of love? You go about it exactly the other way. Where is our first love attraction? Physical. Cute, handsome. Physical attractions, right? Then, after that, we want to know what they think about certain things, right? And after that, it gets into the heart. You see what I'm talking about? Now, that kind of love is natural love. And please don't misunderstand me. It's very natural. And in the natural realm, it's proper. Can you hear me? In the natural realm, it's proper. And it starts out with physical attraction. That's why you kind of watch your kids when they're in high school, right? Because they're going through this thing and they're all messed up. They don't understand all this. All they can see is the, each other's physical body here. And then they fall in love and sometimes get married and never get beyond this. It's always just eros or sex. That's all it is. But then they start going to the same places, doing the same thing, and their souls or minds develop the same. Now, when they don't do that, it ends up in divorce. But when they do that and come along together on things, then they, you know, then they can talk about the same thing at the table. And then they develop in love here, in the way of love. And finally, the agape love takes over. Once in a great while, we find someone with agape love, and that would be a person maybe who is married to someone who has become an invalid. And they take care of that person year after year after year, with some kind of supernatural love, not having any body responses or mind, but it's all out of the heart. Understand what I'm talking about? It doesn't happen much, but let's see. The spiritual pattern and then the natural pattern of love. Okay? I want every person to take every step. I wish I had time to go through all those scriptures with you. It's such a... I'm doing you an injustice to bypass all those scriptures right there. because I know that there'll only be a fourth of you who will take time to look them up. And yet there's so many truths, deep truths, to be seen through these scriptures here. Now, if I could excite you, I could maybe get half of you to go ahead and look some of these up for the benefit of, for your own personal benefit. But the time has gone away. And I can't take the time now to go through all these scriptures. But here is the whole thing. It's lined up right here. Now, as many as are led of the Spirit of God, they are the to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become. He didn't say they were, they're becoming. Now a son, though he is an heir, differeth nothing from the servants, though he be the Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the then he is manifested. Therefore, not any one of us can by faith do the flip. The flip is done by
hope.
Now what a man has, why doth he yet hope for? Hope is always for the future. Therefore, I cannot to say to the Father, here I am, Dad, manifest me. I'm God's gift to the world.
Praise God.
It won't work like that. No. The way it works is, I have to present myself to the Father. First, for Jesus to enter my heart. Second, for the Holy Ghost to change my attitude, my mind, over and over and over and over again. And finally, the glory, G-L-O-R-I, doxa, of the Father inhabits the physical body. And then we're manifest. In fact, some people at times see an aura or a glow around certain other people. When this is occurring, the word aura, glow, ray, light, all these are synonymous, and they're a glow that's around a person who is actually dying. And whenever you see this glow, they're dying right there, or there's some more cutting right there. And it's a process of dying to self, to live to others. And when you sometimes you can see it around certain people. Certain people have an attribute of being able to see it. But when you see it, that person is dying right there to self and starting to live to others. Then this glory, or the doxa of the Father, as this dies, as this continues to have the attitude changes, which brings this thing into not making any more decisions based on self or selfishness or self-preservation, natural. Then the Spirit is making the decisions, and those are based on eternal values. And we're thinking right now we got the mind of Christ instead of our own dumb head. Then we're flipped. Then the Father inhabits the physical body, this flesh. And that's hallelujah. That's when we walk through doors. That's when all these things that we're talking about, some people have read tracts, and some people even believe, and I do too. There are people here who are going to go down hospital wards and holding out their arms like this will just make the shadow go, oh, glory. And when the shadow goes over the people just like that, how many know that Peter did that? All right. And that's all it'll take. Jump up right like that. Hallelujah. I don't know what the doctors have been doing.
They've got to be running for the medical books.
Well, hallelujah. After a while, I guess doctors would be good at other professions. They could learn. They could learn to do other things. They could learn to do certain other things. I want every person to say within themselves right now, I'm going all the way.
For the concluding part of this message by David Ebaugh, entitled Seven Rings of Heaven, please stop your machine and turn this cassette over.